Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Michelin Cross Climate 2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
The Volume.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre. Straight Fire. For Friday, January 12th. It is a glorious Friday, ladies and gentlemen. The weekend is here. We have super wild card weekend. 6 games, 2 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday, 1 on Monday night. Oh, it's going to be great. And to help preview it, we got a great guest on today's podcast, TA, faithful listeners of Straight Fire, dating back to my radio show. I think it started in 2015 on Fox Sports Radio. I mean, geez, I can't believe that's 9 years ago now. Damn, time really flies when you're having fun. Anyways, I started talking to TA on Twitter, and he started coming on the radio show every week and do gambling. Now he's blowing up big time. It's pretty awesome to talk to people on the internet, and actually they're normal. They're normal human beings. It's very rare, but it does happen. Anyways, it just so happens we're on different sides for a lot of games this weekend. Now, it's weird because when we talk, obviously, you know, when I do the herd headline segment, they just want me to pick winners, and we talk spread in, like for instance, I heads up, shocker, I'm taking the Bills. I did bet the Bills. And then TA comes on and is like, I don't know, man, I'm on the Steelers. 10 is a lot. Look at that total. And yeah, Buffalo has not been overly imposing the last couple weeks. And they're like, okay, win game. Buffalo just wants to get out of there with the win. If it's 17-3, Buffalo goes into the prevent D, Mason Rudolph maybe comes in with the backdoor cover touchdown late. Buffalo doesn't care. They just want to win. So, you know, it is a big number, and I get that. I can see Mason Rudolph choking in his first cold game, in his first playoff game, in the wind and cold in Buffalo, and I can see this being, 23-6, Bills steamroll Pittsburgh. At any rate, we'll talk about that shortly. I did want to open the pod with, obviously, the big news, which dropped Thursday morning-ish, the legend, Bill Belichick, stepping down / fired, depending on who you talk to. Or listen to, from the New England Patriots after a glorious run, a 2-decade run. It's weird. I don't want to parse words too much, but if you listen to... So Kraft took the podium, then Belichick, and then they said, okay, we'll take questions later on today. I was like, ooh, that's interesting. Clearly, something not great happened, and they just went and come out. We're professionals, and then they were like, yeah, I want to get the hell far away from the other one. And it sounds, again, this is just spitballing, reading the tea leaves, which we love to do, is that Kraft was unhappy with the direction of things post-Brady. This felt like rock bottom and a good time to reset, and he wanted to make some changes. Belichick, had a year left on his deal, clearly thought, like, I can turn this around. I got the good cap room. I got the number 2 pick. And Kraft is just like, no thanks. We're done. So now they're in a search for a GM and a coach, and we'll see what happens. I had this funny thought, you look around the league and all of a sudden it's like, oh, Mike Vrabel got fired. Huh. And Bill Belichick is now on the market. I know he's 72, but he's on the market. And then Nick Saban up and retired in Alabama. He's 72. Wow, that market's pretty. Oh, and Jim Harbaugh may be leaving Michigan here in the next, I don't know, 96 hours. It's like, damn, usually it's slim pickings. It's like, oh, who do I want? Some retread? Do I want to take a chance on a guy like Eberflus? Do I want to take a chance on an Eric Bieniemy? You know, you look back at Washington goes out and hires Ron Rivera a few years ago. It's like, what do we do? Those are the options. Well, now, hell, you look around the league and, oh, damn. Harbaugh, Belichick, Vrabel, and Nick Saban? Now, I know Nick Saban sounds like he's retiring and he's done, and I get that. I totally get that. But if you're an owner of a team and you've got, say, Matt Friggin Eberflus as your head coach, you don't think as the owner you at least reach out to Jimmy Sexton, the most powerful agent in the industry, and say, hey, is there a number that would entice Saban to come here? Like, do we even need a starting point, or is he done? Like, you got to make that call, right? So then it gets a little more interesting. Like Saban, okay, college football, I get it. Maybe he's just done, and he's going to retire at Alabama. He's going to keep his office, and he's going to do some consulting for the school and the next coach and onboarding and all that fun stuff. Okay, that's fair. Well, what about Harbaugh, Vrabel, and Belichick? If you're, say, I don't know, my New York Jets, and you're Woody Johnson, you were like, you know, a month ago, we gave the vote of confidence to Robert Saleh. Well, holy shit. Things have kind of sort of changed, no? I could keep a coach who's 18-33? A defensive guy? 18-33? Or I could kick the tires on Jim Harbaugh? I don't know. Maybe he probably doesn't want to come to New York, but I got to at least call, don't I? It's very rare that, like, excellent coaches come on the market. Now, I consider Vrabel probably one of the best coaches to hit the market because they were fired in a while. No? I mean, remember, Peyton stepped down, retired, went to TV. Like, that wasn't fired. Like, this is Mike Vrabel on the open market. That doesn't happen. And I don't think you're doing your job as a billionaire owner to not at least inquire about a guy like Mike Vrabel. Or Jim Harbaugh. And you got to wonder if there's a lot of coaches around the league who are maybe a little nervous that the market's kind of flooded with really talented guys. You know, not only does Mike McCarthy have to be wondering where the mindset is of his guy, Dan Quinn, as Seattle bounces Pete Carroll, and it sounds like Pete Carroll may stay, but I don't know. There's a lot of chatter that he doesn't want to be done. Like, I wouldn't be looking to get in the Pete Carroll business, but if you're like the Carolina Panthers and you have zero culture and you're not going to be getting anybody, like, there's no way Vrabel's going to Carolina, right, to work with that owner. Like, Tepper's not going to have his pick of the litter. But if you're a guy like Pete Carroll, now Pete Carroll's probably not going to take it. He's a West Coast guy. I mean, what happens if Tepper calls up and says, hey, Pete, you know, we need a culture badly. I clearly have no clue what the F I'm doing. I would love it if you would come in and, you know, run things here. What do you think? Is there a number that interests you? I don't know. 20 million a year? I have no idea. Now, I know he's paying two fired coaches, but it's like, huh. I could get Pete Carroll. Like, what else are you looking at if you're Carolina? Like, Ben Johnson's not going to Carolina. Sorry, guys. It's not happening. Ben Johnson, he's in a great spot in Detroit. And he's only going to leave for a really, really good head coaching job, like to work with Justin Herbert, maybe to work with Caleb Williams. It's in the division, so it seems unlikely. Does he go to Washington if they're going to get Drake May? I don't know. Like, these guys are going to have options. And, like, Tennessee's going to, they're not going to get anyone. They're like the guy who waited, didn't want to ask any girl to the dance because he was shy, and then he's getting FOMO like 2 weeks before the dance, and he's like, oh, man, everybody has a date. I guess I'm not even, you know, I don't even really know this girl, but I'm just going to ask her so I go with somebody so I could hang out with my friends. Like, that's where Tennessee is headed with their coach, and we know that ain't going to end well. Like, unless they strike absolute gold with something completely outside of the box. Hey, you know what? Let me take a swing at, I don't know. There's this coach at Clemson who doesn't want to go to Alabama. And could we pry Dabo Swinney out of Clemson and bring him to the NFL to have him have a shot? I don't know. I mean, you got to get creative at that point and really take some chances. But a lot of these college guys have it great. What the hell are they leaving for? Now, of course, you could say the counter is also true. They have it crappy in that they have to recruit 24/7. NIL has changed the game. Not only do you recruit and land players, you've got to then keep recruiting them and probably play them instantly. There's not a lot of developmental stuff going on anymore in college football. It's like, oh, you're not playing? You have $100,000 in NIL money and you're not playing, and Pittsburgh comes and says, hey, we got $300 for you in NIL, and you start. Well, are you going to get better sitting on the bench? I don't know. Do you want to go, to Pittsburgh and start and make more money? Who knows if you're going to the NFL? It's just, college is in a weird space, and I just wonder, would a college coach take a chance on a Tennessee, a Carolina? I have no clue. But all I know is the NFL market right now is just totally popping off with all sorts of stuff. You got Vrabel out there. I don't think he's a slam dunk to go to New England. Following Belichick, I just don't know how enticing that is. That roster in New England is kind of garbage. So I know they got cap room. I know they got a high draft pick. But again, you know I'm a Jets fan, so I'm not going to say anything nice. But Woody Johnson, can you call Harbaugh? Can you at least see? Because if Jim Harbaugh's taking the job, we're taking him in a heartbeat. Although he's probably not going to want to deal with Aaron Rodgers. Anyways, all right, let's get to our guest for Super Wildcard Weekend, Clev T.A.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of General tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office and install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their General Tire test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that will help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. So yeah, if you were taking a favorite, say, on Sunday, parlayed with another favorite, say, on Sunday, there's a real good opportunity for you to cash here. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code STRAIGHTFIRE. New customers can bet just $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code STRAIGHTFIRE. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome in a frequent guest on the pod to break down Super Wild Card Weekend. T.A., the man, the myth, the legend. How are you, T.A.?
Good, Jason. I haven't been here for a while, so I'm just talking NFL with you.
I think we had you in the preseason. You gave out just winners galore. You said that, if I remember this one, that Arizona was not tanking. What happened with their win total? I didn't bet it after you came on because you know Gannon pretty well.
Yeah, that win total plummeted. I think it closed at like 3.5. It was
wow.
It was like as low as you can get. And you know, obviously, nobody had any faith that Arizona was even trying to win. So they did clear that closing number. But there was, I mean, early on, it was like 5, 5.5, like way before all the tanking. So anyone who got in early actually won on the under, and anyone who got in late won on the over. So, but I think all in all, it was a good season for them for based on
Are they your second favorite team after the Browns?
Yeah. I mean, obviously I have a little connection there and I'm rooting for them. And, you know, they played hard all year. Like they were never really out of these games and limited talent, especially on defense. They had no talent on defense towards the end of the year. And they were, you know, they go into Philly and win outright. So they're sitting with a top five pick. Hopefully they can get a guy like Marvin Harrison, be perfect for them. They got tons of cap space, tons of draft picks. Like they're sitting really pretty if they utilize that
interesting. Well. It's funny how Gannon leaves the Eagles, goes to Arizona, and the Eagles defense just falls apart. It is abysmal this year. They can't stop anybody. We'll get to Tampa, Philly in a minute. But let's start with your other favorite team, the Browns. They're in Houston. Interesting line here. I think a lot of people, casual bettors, are stunned that C.J. Stroud is a dog. The Browns were, I think, 1.5 at the open, now 2.5. I bet your Browns here, but now I'm starting to have buyer's remorse as it's gone up. But, you know, the C.J. Stroud factor, like, listen, he's been phenomenal this year. He was incredible in almost every game, but he has struggled against man-to-man defense, which your guy Schwartz loves to do.
Yeah, and he has struggled against pressure. If you look at his numbers when he's pressured versus a clean pocket, I think he has one of the largest drop-offs in the NFL amongst all quarterbacks. So, and that's not surprising. That's how he was at Ohio State. And that's just, you know, young quarterbacks don't deal with pressure very well. So if the Browns can get to him, then they're going to likely have success. I find this line interesting. I personally didn't bet it. I thought that this might be, you know, like a pick 'em or maybe Houston -1. So when the Browns are favored and then, you know, the line kind of crept up towards 3, I was really stunned. The way I looked at it, you know, these two teams played a couple weeks ago and early, that was the week after Stroud had just missed a game due to a concussion. And most of these quarterbacks come back after one missed game. So everyone assumed that he was going to play. The line opened 2.5 in favor of Houston. And it was there for about 2 days until the announcement came that, you know, he wasn't going to practice and he might not play. And then, the line flipped. And I think the Browns closed -3. So the market was telling you initially just a couple weeks ago that Houston was a 2.5-point favorite at home. So for this line to completely, this is essentially or almost the same number as when we saw Case Keenum starting for Houston. So I think you're paying a little bit of a tax for the rookie quarterback thing, right? Like the, you know, rookie quarterbacks or first time quarterbacks in the playoffs, obviously that there's a little tax there. You know, there's the Browns have played well the last couple of weeks with Flacco. They're getting some buzz. So, you know, there's clearly a premium here, but I think it's a little expensive. Personally, like I said, I'm just rooting for the Browns, so I'm not betting it, but I think this number might be a tad high. And now you heard Denzel Ward got hurt in practice. Yeah. Today, which is odd. So hopefully it's not a big deal. But, Will Anderson didn't play in that first game either, by the way, for Houston. So
is he still hurt?
He played the last two games of the year, so he should be fine to play. Jonathan Greenard, who has 12.5 sacks, I think he left after 2 or 3 snaps in that first game. So he's questionable. He's more questionable, I think, than Will Anderson. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, if they get those guys back, like this is a completely different team than the Browns rolled just 3 weeks ago. So I think it'll be a really close game.
He did play. You're right. In the Indy game at the end, he had it looks like he didn't play a ton of his normal snaps that he was playing earlier in the year. But yeah, no, he's a game changer off the edge, and the Browns are down both starting tackles, right? That's been the case for a few weeks, maybe a month.
Actually, they're top three tackles. So rookie DeJuan Jones out of Ohio State was playing really well. He was filling in for Jedrick Wills and Jack Conklin on the right side. Yeah, he's out for the season a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, they're playing with backups out there. And it's amazing what Stefanski and this offense has done between Flacco and Jerome Ford instead of Watson and Nick Chubb. And then you're down to your fourth and fifth tackles. It's just incredible what they've done offensively to hold this thing together.
Speaking of injuries, the Dolphins, it looks like they're going to be down five starting defenders and a rotational guy at six. Mostert is back, which is a huge help. This is a tough game for me, man. By the way, do you have Peacock, or are you one of these guys who's like going to do the trial for Peacock and then cancel?
No, I have all these streaming services like that. You know, when COVID hit, like me and my wife, we were binging everything. My wife was pregnant, so we bought everything. And a couple bucks a month. I just keep them all.
Have you seen Bel Air or no?
No, I have not.
I think it's good, man. The Fresh Prince reboot. I don't know. Maybe not for you, but I greatly enjoyed it. So we have Peacock.
Okay.
And I don't know. Maybe I'm dumb. I bet the Chiefs here at the outset, very early, a juice -3. It's up to 4 now. I do have problems with the Chiefs getting separation here. Maybe McDaniel just says, we're just going to run Mostert and Achane all day and make them stop us. It worked largely against Buffalo, but is it going to work in KC? Rested Chiefs, Miami, kind of a short week? I don't know, man.
It's a tough game. So I think 3 is a good number for you. I think that's the right number. I actually just took 4.5, and I took under 44.5. Earlier today. I just thought it was, I thought the numbers were too high, and I did more research. You know me, I like to really dig in. I've got a database going back to 2000 of every game. I even have, some weather data. So I was just curious, like the more and more I'm looking at some of this weather, these weather forecasts, like it keeps getting colder by the day. And we're talking about, kickoff temperature at 0, and it's going to be negative temps during the game, and it's going to be 15 mile an hour winds. And obviously, when you have a weather issue like that, that usually brings the underdog closer, right? A higher variance game, a lot of things can happen. And I know it's Miami, but I think everyone's going to be cold. Like, I don't think it matters whether you're from Miami or you're from Ohio or you're from Missouri. Like, it doesn't matter. You're going to be freezing when it's below zero. So it's going to affect everybody. And when you look back, I just did a quick search. Like, I did temperatures from 6 degrees and lower, because at the time, that's what the expected high temperature was going to be. And since 2000, I'm talking regular season and playoffs, the underdog is actually 7-0-1 against the spread. Only one game. Yeah, only one game was decided by more than 3 points, if you could believe that. The under was 7-1 in those games, too. And no game had more than 43 points scored total. So I do think, like, you'll see some stuff. People will post things that, like, oh, no, you know, temperature doesn't matter when it's 25 or 30 degrees and below, you know, the overhits. But, like, it really, as you get to the single digits, it drops off precipitously. And, you know, you're an LA guy, so you don't know how it is. I'm a Cleveland guy. There's a gigantic difference between 25, 30 degrees and 5 degrees or negative temps. So, like, literally, you don't feel your face after, like, 30 seconds. So, like, to me, you got a hardened ball. You got a Chiefs team that, I mean, these receivers can't catch the ball anyway. Like, they're going to catch a frozen football. So both teams are going to run a lot. And look, the Dolphins are one of the best run offenses in the NFL between Achane and if Mostert plays. Like, they could keep the ball on the ground. And Tua, you know, Tua probably is going to struggle because he's not used to this weather for sure. So I just think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I think both teams are going to run the ball a lot. You'll see a lot of Pacheco. And even though the Miami defenders, all those edge rushers are gone, you know, it doesn't matter as much if you can't push the ball down the field with a frozen football and, you know, in these temperatures. So I just think it just plays out to be a lower scoring game. And that, you know, obviously favors for a team getting 4.5. It just brings it closer to the favorite. So I just decided to take the points there.
Yeah, how many people do you think are just going to see cold weather to Miami and instantly bet KC, which is, well, I mean, the books seem fine with that, huh? It's up to 4.5?
Well, that's what I mean. I think that's all the movement. There's no way, like, any, I know the injuries matter, but there's no way, based on how the season has gone, that you can ever favor Kansas City by 4.5, right? Like, just purely based on statistics and how the season's gone, because they don't blow anybody out. I mean, they were just favored by 7 over a Jake Browning-led Bengals team, right? So you're telling me like that team is 2.5 points worse than Miami? No, I mean, they're a lot worse. So it's clearly all that is baked into between the Tua stuff and the injuries and the weather. I think that's all baked into this being inflated here. So, you know, like I said, your number three, I think, is a good one. I think that's a perfectly fine bet. And then I think my 4.5 is good on the other side. I think it's you have two good bets there.
This is kind of an open question and a difficult one, but what the hell's wrong with KC? It can't just be the drops. I know they lead the league in drops, and they'd be better if they didn't have them, and there was a couple high-leverage plays that they lost out on with the turnovers against the Eagles and the pass interference against the Packers, and you could make all these excuses, but they just are, they're not destroying, like the Eagles aren't destroying teams like they were last year. The Chiefs just don't look crisp at all in any facet offensively. Can you put your finger on one thing?
Yeah, you know, I don't have all the tracking data, but I just don't think the receivers are getting any separation. Travis Kelce, look, he's getting older now. He was hurt earlier in the year, and you know, he's just not getting as open as he used to. And then you have no speed on the outside. You have Rashee Rice, who's a fine, but he's a rookie, right? And he's a good player, but he's not an elite receiver. So you just don't have those options outside. And I think Patrick Mahomes' offensive line hasn't played well either, especially in that Raiders game. You saw it. He got skittish, you know, and you're not used to seeing it. But and I don't blame him. He's panicking a little bit early. He's like trying. It's like he doesn't feel comfortable in the pocket like he used to. So, you know, he's trying to get out of the pocket a little bit early, trying to make a play. He's not just, you know, taking those quick throws. So I think it's a combination of all of that. So but their defense is a lot better. Right. So it's making up for some of the offensive deficiencies. And we'll see. Like I'm always, you know, we'll talk about the Eagles in Tampa. I'm always skeptical of these teams to, quote unquote, turn it on. You know, in the playoffs, like we thought we were going to see that with Tampa and the Bucks last year, right? Like everybody thought, oh, the Bucks, once they get to the playoffs, like they're going to turn it on, because all year they struggled. And then they got to the playoffs. Everyone bet them as a home dog against Dallas and they got destroyed. So we just got to be careful, you know, that these teams, you just can't assume that these teams are going to, you know, turn the lights on. But you do have the best quarterback. You do have the best quarterback in the NFL there. So that's always a possibility.
So it's funny with the Chiefs last year. My big thing was, okay, they'll be okay in the regular season without Tyreek, but in the playoffs, like, who's going to be that guy who you could, 3rd and 9, you just need it. And Mahomes was like 7 touchdowns, no turnovers, amazing postseason run, and then they win the Super Bowl. It was just all Mahomes. It doesn't look like he can be Superman again, at least from what I've seen this year.
And there, he's amazingly, he's 22nd in the NFL in completions of 20 plus yards down the field. Like they're taking away all the deep stuff, and they just don't have many options to go deep. Yeah. And then when they do throw it deep, guys like MBS are dropping it, right? Like against in that Eagles game. So it's just a combination of all of that, I think, is just playing into it. And I think even last year, he had a similar wide receiving core, but he had Travis Kelce was still playing at an elite level and he was getting open. So that was a big difference there, and that clearly has made the difference. And, you know, the offensive line isn't as good as it was last year either. So, like I said, I think it's all that, but maybe they turn it on here, and you know, it's Mahomes and Andy Reid, and that's all you need to get to the Super Bowl again. So, but we'll see.
Yeah. Steelers are, it looks like as we record this here Thursday, they're getting some money against the Bills. It looks like this is headed toward 9.5 again. I don't know, man. This was 10.5. It seems like Buffalo's the slam dunk. It's Mason Rudolph, first-time quarterback. The Buffalo Bills went from out of the playoffs to the number 2 seed. A massive wind game here, which actually kind of helps the Steelers. I don't know, man. I'm that idiot who just said, give me Buffalo at 10, and it looks like I'm on the wrong side. At least closing line value, we'll see what that means. But I don't know. Anything for you on this one?
Yeah, actually, along with that Kansas City or that Miami and under, I took Pittsburgh plus 10. And it's, you know, I'm not saying my bet caused it, but it's just good timing, I guess, that the number is starting to dip. It's like you just mentioned, with these, you know, 20 plus mile an hour sustained winds, I've seen gusts over 30. You know, the temperature should be okay in the 20s. It's not like as cold as it will be in Kansas City. But again, that brings in, especially a big underdog like this, that brings in the level of variance and, you know, kind of levels the playing field. And when you're getting a double digit underdog at this, and it's a Mike Tomlin, you know, back team, like, you know, that increases the ability of these dogs to cover. And this run game for Pittsburgh, yeah, they faced, you know, Seattle and Cincinnati and the backups for Baltimore, but they've really turned it on the last 3 weeks with Mason Rudolph. They're the second best run offense in the NFL in the last 3 weeks. And when you look at success rate,
Najee.
Yeah, go ahead.
You jump in, though. Who did they play in the last 3 weeks?
Well, that's what I just said. So Seattle, Cincinnati, right? Yeah. And the backups for Baltimore. But Buffalo's run defense is solid. They're 11th, but they have allowed, you'd be surprised at this, they've played the single easiest schedule of opposing run offenses. So they haven't been tested, and they've allowed the second highest rate of explosive runs. So 15-yard runs, they've allowed the second highest rate. So, you know, maybe not on a down-to-down basis. You know, Pittsburgh will have a ton of success, but, you know, they can break off a run or two. Jalen Warren's tough to tackle. This isn't the greatest tackling Buffalo defense.
Jalen Milano, is he back?
No, he is not. He's out for the season. So their linebackers, and so their linebackers are a little smaller, not as great at tackling. So again, it's still solid defense, but you know, I think this Pittsburgh team can at least run the ball. Najee Harris has like turned the corner. Like he used to look like he was stuck in mud, but the last 3 weeks, even against the competition he's facing, like he's rushed for over 300 yards the last three games, and he's looked good doing it. He's broken a bunch of tackles. I think they could do just enough on the ground. You know, Mason Rudolph, he's not going to throw the ball down the field in this weather, but all he needs to do is throw quick slants to Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, and they do the rest, right? I mean, they've got back-to-back or two of the last 3 weeks, quick slants have taken it, you know, 70-plus yards for a touchdown, and they're playmakers. So, you know, and Rasul Douglas, Buffalo's top corner, he got hurt last week. He hasn't practiced yet. You know, who knows if he'll play. Gabe Davis is out for Buffalo, likely. You know, as good as, you know, Buffalo is on offense generally, you know, they're bottom 10 in explosive pass plays. Like they have not pushed the ball down the field, and you're going to be without your top, you know, deep ball receiver and Gabe Davis. It's going to be a lot of running. I expect Fournette and James Cook and obviously Josh Allen. Take a look at Josh Allen rush props. You know, he could have a big game. I think they're just going to keep it on the ground. And I just think it's going to be one of those lower scoring games. And, you know, a lot of people will talk about the TJ Watt injury, and I totally get it. A lot of back in the prior years, like his backups have been really, really poor. I think last year combined all the edge rushers behind him. So obviously not Alex Highsmith on the other side, but all the backups had like 13 total pressures and no sacks in action without TJ Watt. This year, Nate Herbig was a really, you know, promising rookie out of Wisconsin. Marcus Golden, who's an underrated veteran who's kind of been all over the place. Those guys have played really well. Both have PFF pass rush grades over 80. They have 7 sacks combined. So I think they can do just enough to fill the gap. And you might not need that pass rush as much with the weather and the wind the way it is. So, again, I think lower scoring, I mean, the total's 35. So you get an underdog in 9-10 points, it becomes highly valuable. And I think as long as they limit the turnovers, I think it's just kind of one of those 20-13 type games. And, you know, to me, the points are just too valuable here.
It's probably the smart play. I'm looking at Josh Allen's playoff history against the spread. I don't have the full number, but I have the box scores. So in his first one against the Texans, did not cover. I know he did not cover the next year against Phillip Rivers because I think you would come on. That was when you were coming on.
Yeah, and Rivers covered.
They covered. The Colts did. Then they did cover against the Ravens. I had Lamar in that one. They did not cover against the Chiefs in a blowout. The following year, covered against the Patriots. Did not cover in the overtime loss to the Chiefs. Remember the great game. And then last year, didn't cover against Miami, and then got their butts kicked by the Bengals, right? Yeah. So Allen, he's not a covering machine in the playoffs.
How about this one? You want a trend? Because I was looking it up because I was like, I felt like, you know, when you see the Chargers game, they go into LA a couple weeks ago and almost lose outright to what is an 11, 12-point favorite.
Yeah.
Do you know they're 0 for their last 9 covering a double-digit spread? They're 2-9 in the last 11 instances. They haven't covered a double-digit number since week 5 of last year. Like, they are not blowing teams out that they're supposed to. They play much, but they step up in competition really well. But when they play teams, inferior teams, they're just not blowing them out. And I think that's a function of just the offense isn't as explosive as it used to. You know, Stephon Diggs isn't as active. They're not pushing it down the field. And, you know, now with Joe Brady, they're a little bit more conservative running the football. So, again, all of that, to me, points towards Pittsburgh here, just to keep a closer look. You got the Mike Tomlin voodoo that's always out there. And if the game's going to be close, like, you never know with this team.
I don't know about on the road. I mean, Mason Rudolph is rough. Although he's 18 of 20 in the rain against the Ravens. I was stunned. I had Baltimore last week. All right, so then the next game is probably the second best game, Packers-Cowboys. And you said you don't have a side on this one. This is, for me, the toughest one to bet because I want to take the Packers. I don't know. I just feel like Dallas might just blow them out. I have some Dallas futures to win the Super Bowl and NFC. I don't know, man. This is, you were the guy who was telling us the Packers are like the most boom bust team in the preseason, right?
Yep. That was my top kind of sleeper pick from an NFC standpoint was the Packers, just because I thought, you know, everyone just assumed Jordan Love was not good, right? Because of like very limited action. And I said, like, the guy's got a pedigree. He's a first round pick. He's got all the tools. He's athletic, got a good arm. We just hadn't seen him. So I said, well, why are we just assuming he's going to be really bad? And it's not like Aaron Rodgers was great last year. So the bar was not very high. I knew they had an easy schedule. So I thought that if he was just above average, that they could make the playoffs. And he's actually way better. Number five in EPA per dropback this year.
Really?
He was awesome. He was awesome the last half of the year. If you look at the last, I think like 8 or 9 weeks, number three in the NFL among all quarterbacks in EPA, 18 touchdowns, one interception. Like, he kind of snuck up to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So the thing is, again, this is his first playoff start in a tough environment in Dallas. He didn't face a ton of great defenses. You know, he did face Kansas City and played well. You know, hasn't really faced a tough defense on the road. I don't know. This is like one of those. I know a lot of people are going to want to tease Dallas down to 1.5. I'm a little worried if I'm a Dallas backer. Like Green Bay, when they're on, like the way they played against Detroit on Thanksgiving, they could beat anybody in the NFL. We saw them beat the Chiefs. We saw them beat the Lions, who are two of the best teams. Like they can pour it on you, and Jordan Love can get hot. So it's one of those teams that like I would not want to lay any amount or you know, tease them, because they could lose by 20 or they can win outright. Like, I think it's a lot of boom or bust. Like, so I haven't bet anything here. I'm rooting for Green Bay because I just like the story. And again, I was rooting for them all year. And I think they're fun. A lot of young talent on offense. They're going to get Christian Watson back. I will say, so defensively, they've been horrible this year, especially the back like month of the year. They actually made Bryce Young look like a real good quarterback, which nobody has. But they've been really banged up all year. Jair Alexander's going to play, we think. I mean, he got hurt today, supposedly. But Devondre Campbell, their best linebacker, the heart of their defense, he's came back last week. They've only played a couple of games together. And when they played together, they've been really good. They've been a top 10 defense. So, again, limited sample size. But now they essentially have their lineup that they've wanted from the beginning. So we'll see how they match up against Dallas. It's hard to stop, but you know, if Alexander's playing, he can slow down CeeDee Lamb. You know, he's a guy who can at least match up. So I think it's going to be the most fun. I think that game and the Rams game with the Lions are the two most fun games for sure.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Vredestein tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Vredestein test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Football is back. No more preseason games. The regular season is here. While we all love watching our favorite teams on television, there is nothing better than being at a game live and in person. And the best way to get tickets to any of these games is on GameTime, the fastest growing ticketing app in the U.S. For last minute amazing deals on tickets to see your favorite football teams this September, download GameTime. And it's not just football. GameTime has tickets to baseball games, concerts, and comedy shows across the country. Download the GameTime app and redeem code JMAC for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the GameTime app and enter code JMAC. That's J-M-A-C for $20 off. No matter where you live, get out and have some fun this week. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets. Lowest price guaranteed. T.A., obviously you're a huge numbers guy, but when you see Jerry Jones not saying, oh, McCarthy's our guy going forward, blah, 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 and, you know, we'll see how the playoffs go. I know you can't quantify it, but that's got to put a little added pressure on McCarthy, who has had two not great playoff games against the Niners in losses the last 2 years. I just wonder, close game in the fourth quarter. LaFleur, we're with house money. We didn't expect to be here. Yeah. And McCarthy, we've seen him get super conservative. And again, you can't put numbers on it, but how do you factor that in?
Yeah, I think LaFleur has a big coaching edge when it comes to game strategy, especially late. I mean, we've seen McCarthy screw things up constantly. And again, maybe like all week it doesn't affect him, but maybe towards the end of the game, you know, he gets pressure and he, you know, with that pressure, got to win this game, got to make the right call or got to call the right timeout or, you know, there's opportunity for him to make mistakes there when the pressure's on. And I do think now that Bill Belichick's available, I tell me Jerry Jones wouldn't salivate to have him if Mike McCarthy screws up here or loses this game or even the next round. So that pressure does matter. And I think the coaching edge, definitely is on LaFleur's side.
That's a good. I was thinking Harbaugh, but yeah, Belichick, sure, certainly. The best game, I think everybody agrees that with the storylines, Lions hosting the Rams. My problem, TA, I got Rams here, but I haven't seen one person that I respect or that's credible take the Lions. I don't know who you want.
I'm on the Rams too, but I got it at 3.5. So it depends, all right?
If you get that's three, nice. Yeah,
it's different than if you get it at 3. And like I get it, it's kind of a trendy dog, but don't worry about that. I mean, to me, when I ran my numbers, I didn't think I was gonna like the Rams because I haven't been on them much this year, but some really smart guys I know have been on them for the last half of the year. And the more I kind of dug in, if you look at this offense and you look at them when they have a healthy lineup, so that means obviously Matthew Stafford, Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and Kyren Williams, because Kyren Williams missed a handful of games. Stafford missed a game. Cooper Kupp obviously missed early in the season. Those guys have played 8 games together. They've averaged nearly 30 points per game. They are the NFL's number one ranked offense in those games. When you look at EPA, so some of the advanced metrics, better than the Niners, if you could believe that. They scored 26 plus in 6 straight games. And they've done so. It's not like they're doing it against like the dregs of the NFL in terms of the defenses. They've scored 30 plus against the Browns, Ravens, and Saints. That's the number one, number two, and number five EPA defenses in the NFL. Like they're no joke. They're for real. You got obviously a great offensive mind in Sean McVay, who's going to have a week to prepare against, you know, Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn is not he's a great players coach. He's not a good strategic coach. We saw that, you know, the Lions have really struggled. This Lions defense is bottom 10 in most metrics. And they're one of they've generated some of the highest rate of turnovers in the NFL. So they're lucky they're not the worst defense in the NFL because of these turnovers. So I just think you get a week to prepare, big advantage. Obviously McVay and Raheem Morris know Jared Goff inside out. You have Sam Laporta, who's probably not going to play. You have Khalif Raymond. So the one area that I would be concerned about, so keep an eye on, the Rams have the worst special teams in the NFL. They're awful. They can't make a field goal, and they're not good on special teams. Khalif Raymond, who's a really good returner for Detroit, he got hurt last game. He may not play. That's a big edge that could be lost if he's not able to go. But that's the one area that, like, maybe the Rams need a field goal to win a game or to tie it, or they allow a punt return, or you know, there's a block somewhere. Like, that's the one area that this thing could go down south. But, you know, the Rams defense is not great. Not a lot of household names outside of Aaron Donald. Kobe Turner has been a really good find as a rookie along the defensive line. But they're kind of, middle of the pack in every category, but they have not created many turnovers at all. They're opposite of the Lions. So I like that because, you know, turnovers are typically fluky. And so when you're relying on turnovers to kind of save your butt as a defense, it's just not something that's predictive each week and going forward. And so the fact that they're still kind of middle of the pack, they faced a tough, a bunch of tough offenses between the Niners and the Ravens, et cetera. Like, they've played some really good teams and they've held their own, and they're not creating any turnovers. If they create any turnovers, they get the lucky bounces during the playoffs, they can make a run. So I don't know. I'm not saying the Rams are going to win. I just think that you get a veteran quarterback who's won a Super Bowl just 2 years ago on the road in a tough environment. That's who I'd want. If this was like Jordan Love, Manning, or CJ Stroud in this spot, it might be a tough sell because, you know, it's a really hostile environment and you got a rookie or a young quarterback making his first start. You know, maybe you don't produce the same, but you got Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay. Like, I feel very confident those guys that have gone through it, they're going to be fine in this environment. And I just don't see Detroit stopping them at all. So I'm not sure if they'll win, but I think the 3.5 or 3 is a good number.
Is this the biggest coaching edge in the playoff wildcard round? McVay and Campbell, unless you're a Campbell guy.
So it's not necessarily Campbell. It's more McVay versus, like I said, versus Aaron Glenn.
That's probably
the biggest edge.
Let me reframe it. The high leverage moments, I trust McVay a ton. I don't know if Dan Campbell's going to do the right thing. I feel like he just goes with his gut. I'm guessing, because that end of the game sequence against the Cowboys was just bewildering, you know?
The thing with him is he actually goes for it. Like, analytics people love him because he goes for it so often. And he'll do stuff like he'll run a fake punt in his own territory, which is the great time to do it. Like, you'll hear announcers, by the way, this is great. Whenever, like, okay, they're at the opponent's 40 or 45. Oh, watch out for a fake. No, that's actually the worst time to fake because everyone knows it could be coming, right? It's the most obvious. The best time to do a fake is in your own territory when nobody thinks you would ever do it. So he actually does stuff like that, which is great. What he did at the end of that game last week, when after the penalty, he just got blinded. It was he was so upset with the refs that he got blinded and said, I'm just going to go for it. That's where he got screwed over, or he screwed himself over. Should not have gone for it. He didn't have a good excuse for it after the game. But in general, I actually don't mind his aggressiveness and his fourth down play calling. It's just, it's more coordinator related with Aaron Glenn. I mean, Ben Johnson's great on offense, but Aaron Glenn on defense is a joke. So that's probably the biggest mismatch.
Finally, and I don't have a ton on this, Eagles-Bucks. I took the Eagles. I feel like everybody thinks, oh, Bucks are live for an upset. You actually are the lone voice I heard that was hyping the Bucks. Not hyping, but saying they could be better than advertised. Meanwhile, I'm like, oh, they'll be selling Evans and Godwin at the trade deadline. Like, I mean, Bowles is going to keep his job. Baker looks like he's going to get a two or three year deal, or a Geno Smith deal. But, I mean, Tampa Bay was not bad. The division stunk, but they're kind of limping to the finish line, the Baker ankle injury. Two wins over the Panthers down the stretch. I don't know. I just couldn't take Tampa here. I'm on the Eagles. 2.5 and
I feel like we're opposite every game. I'm on Tampa at 3.
Oh, my goodness. No way.
So I did two. I split it up because I'm on Tampa plus 3, and I'm in the team total under for Philly, 23.5. And so let me walk you through that. I didn't think I was going to take them, but once it jumped to 3, did you get it at 3 or did you get it at like 2.5?
Two and a half, but then I felt so good about the Eagles, I was like, I'm going to take it at 3. It's not my biggest play of the weekend, but significant.
Getting Tampa at plus 3 is different than 2.5, right? So you got a better number, just like with the Miami-Kansas City game, so it's not a problem. Just for me, like, okay, if I put a blindfold on you and I said, you're not allowed to know who these teams are, and I just gave you the numbers and the results for the year, there is no way in the world, A, you would ever make Philly a 3-point favorite, and probably B, you would never bet them here. Like, using season-long data and season-long stats, Tampa should be favored, to be honest. At worst, it's a pick'em, but Tampa should be favored because do you know that Philly's, you know what their point differential was this year? Guess what their point differential was?
5.
Yeah. Let me guess. You read it somewhere.
No, we talked about it earlier in the week. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So the second worst in the NFL behind Pittsburgh, okay, in the playoffs. And you know, typically when you get something like that, oh, okay, maybe Jalen Hurts missed a handful of games and they got blown out a couple times with the backup. Maybe they had maybe the toughest schedule in the NFL. So it's not apples to apples. No. They faced one of the 10 to 12 easier schedules in the NFL. Jalen Hurts played every game. Like, there is no, like, they did not produce, even when they were winning games early this year, it's essentially fluky. They were keeping every game close. They beat Washington by 7 twice. Like, when they're actually losing in Washington at one point, they could have lost. Remember that one game that went to overtime early in the year?
Yeah.
You know, so they lose to Arizona at home as 11 point favorites. They get blown out by the Giants with Tyrod Taylor. Like, they, I don't know. Like, again, back to what we said with Tampa last year, we all thought, okay, this Bucs team and Tom Brady, when they get to the playoffs, they're going to turn it around, right? They're just going to turn on the light, and they just never had it. These teams tell you who they are. Like, I've come to learn that these teams will tell you who they are. They have not covered six straight games. They have not covered. The market's been wrong on them every time, assuming that they're going to turn the lights on. And look, you're telling me that they're just going to turn everything around while they have a quarterback in Jalen Hurts who hurt his middle finger of his throwing end. You know, he has not thrown the football since Sunday. They interviewed him today, and he has not even thrown a football. That tells me there's something really wrong with his hand. You're not even, like, warming up. You're not even trying to throw it. He hasn't even attempted to throw the football yet. So who even knows if he can be effective or if he's going to play? A.J. Brown did not practice today. He left the game last week. He's got some sort of, potentially like an MCL sprain. Maybe he goes, but he's not 100%. Devontae Smith did practice. He's going to play. But again, he's coming off a sprained ankle. So you've got your three best players on offense who are all banged up that are not 100%. Defensively, you've been a joke. Like, they're the third worst team in the NFL defensively by every metric in the last 6 weeks. They went from the third lowest explosive play rate allowed in the first 11 games of the year. They've allowed the third most or third highest rate in the last, handful of, or at least like 7 weeks. So, like, everything is going wrong for Philly. I just can't justify laying points on the road against, Tampa's not great, but they're solid. Like, they actually have one of the best against spread records this year in the NFL. They've hung with it, hung tough, especially as underdogs. They've been really good. It's a veteran defense. They're not going to be afraid. You've got good players on the defense. They're fully healthy. Like, they have no injuries at all on defense. And the one reason why I did take, I did split up my wager between the under, the team total, and Tampa is just in case, like you said, with Baker Mayfield. He hurt his ankle last week. He's got bad ribs from 2 weeks ago. He seemed a little bit off last week. If he's not playing well, then maybe it's a lower scoring game and they lose, 20 to 10 or something. At least I can get that under. I'm banking on Philly's offense just not, turning things around with all those injuries, and then just hoping that Baker's not totally banged up and they can make some plays against this Philly team. I just don't agree with the whole they're just going to turn around. Like, there's zero evidence. Like, what evidence is there that this team can turn it around right now? I just don't see it. So
let me ask. So they had a walkthrough here on Thursday, but according to Tampa Bay media, had they conducted a full speed practice, Baker, Tristan Wirfs, and KJ Britt would not have participated. I don't know. Baker's got the ankle. I guess, TA, if you look back at their earlier meeting this year, now it was September, which feels like forever ago, they just totally dominated the line of scrimmage. Swift went wild. I think they rushed for 200 yards. Tampa didn't quite have 200 yards of total offense. Now, you could argue it was Baker early. I think Evans played, but Godwin didn't. I'd have to look back at all the particulars. I just wonder if this is just not a great matchup when you look at the X's and O's for Tampa Bay.
I don't know. I mean, I was on Philly in that game. I just think it's a totally different team. First of all, the defense was way better. They just were much better. I just think it was a totally different situation. If you watch that game again, I was on Philly in that game. They dominated to an extent. They tried to throw the ball. They weren't as successful. Mike Evans dropped two, really, he does this a lot, dropped two easy play, easy deep balls that would have changed the complexion of that game. One was on third down, little things like that. And, one thing I forgot to mention, because in that game, Philly was fine, but they had, I think, I gotta find it. They had maybe their sixth lowest or seventh lowest offensive performance or seventh worst offensive performance all year in that game. So they were okay. And amazingly, some of these splits are kind of random, right? Like, they're not always telling, but I was looking at the Eagles offense and said, all right, what are like their worst games of the year? They were all on the road. Their six worst offensive games all went on the road. I have no idea why. And if you look last year, remember, they almost lost to the Colts on the road last year. Like, they play these road games very, very down to their competition. They weren't really that dominant. And for whatever reason this year, their five worst and six of their seven worst games on offense all came on the road. They've only gone over there, by the way, another reason why I took the team total under, They've only gone over their team total twice in 9 road games all season. One of them was by a half a point in the opener against New England, which you remember that was, they had a pick six in that game, right? So they've completely over, you know, underperformed on offense on the road. And the Bucs defense have held opposing offenses under their team total in 71% of games at 3 points per game. That's the third best in the NFL. So, you know, they're exceeding expectations defensively. It wasn't a high scoring game last time. And you got all these, it's really just the injuries. You've got, it's not just one, it's not like one receiver, it's both receivers and just starting quarterback. So, like, I want to see Philly prove it to me that they're going to turn this around before I believe in them.
Yeah. You think Sirianni's in any trouble if he loses this game?
Man, with all these coaches out there between Vrabel and Belichick, and you know, I could see it being tempting, you know, if they're able to land one of the big fish. But I mean, it would be crazy to me, but you know, who knows what's going on in that locker room?
They lose both coordinators and they look like a totally different team this year. Now, maybe it's like, hey, we got our Super Bowl ring, and half the guys in the locker room are like, yes, we got it, and they're good. But it something feels off for them to go from so dominant, blowing teams out with the big plays, to like A.J. Brown's chirping, Jalen Hurts is banged up. I don't know, man. I'm a little, now you got me worried about the Eagles here, but
we'll see.
Anyways. All right. Any futures bets that you want to toss in there?
No, I don't. I typically, if I like, you know, any underdogs to make a run, I would just rather roll over their money line all the way through. You typically get better odds doing that. Like if you like the Rams, just keep taking their money line every game, right, and roll it over till you get to the Super Bowl. I have a Browns ticket from before the year as a fan at like 35-1. So, you know, that's perfectly fine with me at this point, but I think it's gonna be a fun playoffs, but you know, the Rams are a very trendy pick, not only in this game, to make a run. Like, everybody thinks they can make a run, and maybe they can. I do think the special teams will hold them back eventually. But, you know, so that's one maybe you can consider. But, you know, nothing really stands out to me. You know, all the value sucked out of Buffalo as kind of a long shot sleeper. You know, if Miami was not playing with all those injuries, I would have thought about them because they've got, you know, a lot of the attributes that these Super Bowl teams, especially like with the explosive plays, and top pass games that you typically see in the Super Bowl. But there's just not a lot out there for me to you know, Pittsburgh has no value. Again, I have the Browns. So to me, I'll just roll with my Browns and see if we can get both as a fan and as a better, long shot better, a ticket to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. All right, TA, good stuff. As always, good luck. Wild card weekend, even though we're opposite on some games. Damn,
I know, it's
just
crazy.
Rams, we're on the same Rams side. So there's just always that.
That's true. Maybe we'll get that one. All right, appreciate it, Jason. Thanks, man. Happy New Year.
See you.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
The Toolkit Podcast is where your favorite filmmakers come to talk about their craft and process.
I don't want a sloppy angle in my movie ever.
It's like being a dancer. You find the freedom in the structure.
It's where Tarantino, Gerwig, Scorsese, and Jordan Peele discuss their latest films, and showrunners take us behind the scenes of the best of TV.
Hosted by IndieWire's craft team, Toolkit is an award-winning podcast that gets at the heart of what really matters for filmmakers, like Spike Lee.
It comes back to this storytelling. What can I use in my toolbox